The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the old Pick Six podcast. No Will Brinson again today because Will Brinson is perpetually on vacation. It's just become part of the intro now that we're in the middle of summer here. By the way, Brinson's birthday's coming up, so happy birthday to him. My birthday's the day after Brinson's. Happy birthday to me. And more importantly, our guy, Tyler Sullivan, is coming to talk about some wide receivers today. Sully, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Ryan? How you doing? Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
I'll wish you a happy birthday. You're here. I'm not going to wish Will a happy birthday.
Fair enough. That is, that's his birthday present. He doesn't get wished happy birthday by Sully. So yeah, let's talk some wide receivers. Yesterday, if you listen to the podcast, I talked with Patrick Walker about running backs. If you didn't catch that, you can certainly catch it on the old YouTube's channel or wherever you get your podcasts for your earballs. But today we're talking wide receivers, and Sully is a well-known Pats fan. I'm just skimming the list. I don't see any Patriots wide receivers.
I just couldn't get Jacoby Myers in there. I don't know what happened.
And to be fair, N'Keal Harry might be on the tight ends list. We haven't checked that yet. So we'll circle back to that. Too soon? Not too soon. All right, so let's start with number 10. And, I mean, this list, it also feels like Sully, like I've been saying this for, you know, years. It's nothing revolutionary. But quarterbacks have been sort of the only player, football-wise, that sort of have leverage. But now it feels like with the way these contracts are going for these wide receivers, they also have some leverage. And maybe things would have happened quicker if Antonio Brown wasn't doing the nutty things he had been doing the last 3 or 4 years. But either way, these guys are getting paid left and right. And the guy at number 10 is an indication of how good and deep this list is. So at number 10, you have former second-round pick, I believe, out of Cal, Keenan Allen. So explain that one to me. How do you squeak in? And by the way, don't give away any spoilers about names you may have included, and we'll talk about that at the end.
Okay.
And if you're reading on the website, people, you can see this top 10 list. Sully didn't write it. He came up with his own list for the podcast, but our guy Cody Benjamin came up with his own list, which is slightly different, and we'll probably touch on that too. All right, Keenan Allen, number 10, what do you got?
Yeah, a couple of different things with Cody's and I's list. Again, there's a ton of different guys, some flip-flops, some kind of bigger swings that we'll get to later on. But Keenan Allen, I mean, he has just been probably, I don't even know, do we call him underrated? I feel like he is. I feel like he's, you know, we're talking about a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't think Keenan Allen's the first guy that you're, you know, one of those guys that you start immediately list.
He plays for the Cowboys. He's not underrated, but he plays sort out west.
Yeah, exactly. And so for the team he plays for, you know, maybe that changes now with Justin Herbert continuing to ascend to be that legit superstar quarterback. But he's been that elite receiver, that go-to guy for, you know, as long as you can kind of go back there. Elite route runner. He's been an unbelievable player in terms of separation. Pro Football Focus had him as one of the top-rated separation players in man coverage dating back to 2017. He's had 3 straight years with 100 catches. The volume alone is ridiculous. So for me, it was kind of a no-brainer. He's the number one in an offense that I think we all assume is going to be, you know, close to top five next year. And so for me, again, I if you need something in a short yardage type of situation, I think Keenan Allen can get it for you every single time.
Yeah, he was actually a third-round pick, and the reason he fell to the third round, I'm pretty sure it was his 40 time. He wasn't a blazer, but again, that just reinforces the idea that we sort of don't know what we're talking about when it comes to trying to evaluate these guys, what it looks like in college versus what it's going to look at the next level. I mean, he played in the Pac-12 with Cal, which isn't necessarily a football factory. Marshawn Lynch and Aaron Rodgers excluded, and Debo's guy, DeSean Jackson. But I'm looking quickly through the 2013 draft class, which was an absolute stinker of a draft class. That's when Keenan went off the board that year. Oh, okay. Let's see. So Keenan was the 1/8 wide receiver taken in 2013. I'll give you 20 Brinson bucks if you can name 2 wide receivers that were drafted before him. Sweet mercy alive.
I'm going to just guess that a Patriot took him. That's not an Aaron Dobson year, is it?
It's an Aaron Dobson year.
Jeez.
Aaron Dobson went He went 17 picks before Keenan Allen.
That makes a lot of sense.
No, 27 picks. Sorry, 27 picks.
Before. That makes a lot of sense. So, I'll take that and walk away. I mean, it's
– Oh, man.
God.
They Tavon Austin went eighth overall.
Okay.
There's high expectations for him, just smallest. Dre Hopkins makes sense. Then Cordell Patterson was the other wide receiver that won the first round of the year. Justin Hunter, remember him? Went to Tennessee, didn't really do much. Played for the Steelers for a little bit, if I recall. Robert Woods, who's had a really good career. Your guy, Aaron Dobson, I don't think he had a great career, for, if memory serves. And then Terrence Williams out of Baylor went to the Cowboys.
When you have the nickname Dropson, it's not good.
Not great. And then Keenan Allen. Well, congratulations, Keenan Allen. You have certainly deserved. And somebody even argue you should be higher than 10th, but let's see. So he must be 30 now, right? Let's see how old he is. Yeah, he's 30. He just turned 30 2 months ago. So, yeah, I mean, he's obviously has 3 or 4 or 5 years left, but he's not climbing up the mountain. He's sort of heading down the mountain.
But you're talking about, and especially too, when you talk about volume, I mean, it is,
right,
you know, just, I think it's at least 120 targets basically since 2017. He's had 3 straight years of 100 receptions, but even, I think you can go even further. I think it's like 5 years when you talk, like, he had 97 receptions 1 year. I mean, he has a ton of miles on him, but again, still one of the more reliable receivers that the NFL has to offer.
Yep, one of the best route runners, too. Number 9, Debo wants to put you up to this. A.J. Brown, who whined his way out of Tennessee to go to Philadelphia so he could get that new deal. I guess he thinks Jalen Hurts is better than Ryan Tannehill. I'm just going full on Brinson right here. All right, A.J. Brown, he's obviously a very good player. Spoiler alert, his teammate from Ole Miss, drafted in the same class, is not on this list. DeKalb Metcalf. A.J. Brown, how did he sneak it at number 9 here?
Yeah, for me, you know, I just think he's one of those ascending young players that we'll talk about. I mean, there's a couple of them from that draft class in here. And he is just one of the guys that is physical, has a great frame to him. The injuries are a big concern. There's no denying that. Was it a double knee surgery or something like that a few years ago? It's certainly a concern when you're talking about how much further can he climb. But I think already he's established himself as a top 10 guy in this league when you talk about his explosiveness, his all-around ability to get open. And it's not like he was playing with a Justin Herbert or anything along those lines. I know we were just kind of goofing on the Eagles and all of that. But to me, Ryan Tannehill, it's not like he's, you know, has Aaron Rodgers throwing him every week. He was putting up significant numbers with a standard quarterback. It's, you know, it's, for me, that's impressive.
Standard is the best way to put it, for sure. Let's see here. Why is AJ Brown not showing up on the draft? He's drafted in 2020.
That was 2019, right?
Oh, he's 2019. Look at that. Jeez, they're all blended. When you get old, everything speeds up. Totally, just FYI. So you have no sense of time, space, anything. So let's see. That draft class, obviously, I mentioned it included his teammate, DK Metcalf. I think AJ was actually drafted for him because DK, if I recall, went at the very bottom of round 2 after that slow 3-cone drill. Oh, man. Remember the first wide receiver drafted in this class, 2019?
Was it Jalen Reagor and then N'Keal Harry?
It was Hollywood Brown.
Oh, it's Hollywood Brown. Okay.
Then N'Keal Harry went 32. Then Deebo Samuel. We may talk about him. And then AJ Brown. Mm-hmm. And then 6 picks later, what's to say? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. All right, here we go. Let's see if he makes the list. There's a chance. All right, at number 8. So I'll preface this by saying I talked to this player at the Senior Bowl prior to his draft, which I think was the 2018 draft, the year before A.J. Brown. And the knock on him was health. He was banged up a little bit in college, and also speed. And I remember him telling me the Senior Bowl, I think I proved that I'm fast enough to play in the NFL. Turns out he's plenty fast and plenty versatile. Number 8, Deebo Samuel.
Well, you said it right there, versatile. I mean, this is probably the most unique player in this top 10 because of that versatility. I mean, we saw it on display last year. Not only can he do it as a legit receiver, but they started lining him up in the backfield and he was just as impactful. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous what he was able to do in both of those facets. A dual threat guy, is 10.8 yards after the catch per reception, led the league last year. He is someone who, like you said, can separate, has the speed to do it. And Deebo has a bunch of stats up here as well. You know, the yards per reception, 18.3 is first in the league. 10 yard rushing TDs, 6, first in the NFL. Yards after the catch, 772, second in the NFL last season. I mean, he's a great running back, and we have him as a top 10 wide receiver on this list.
Yeah, again, and losing all concept of space and time. Debo was in the same draft class as AJ Brown. Went 36 overall at the top of the second round, which felt about right. And I should start mentioning these since our buddy Pete Prisco put out his top 100 list last week. Debo comes in at 26 overall. And let's see, where's AJ Brown? AJ Brown on that list is 94th. So he likes them in the same order you have them, but not quite so close together. Keenan Allen, let's see if Keenan came in at 65th. So he likes Keenan a little more than AJ Brown. I get it.
The only concern with Debo, I mean, obviously injuries are, you know, a concern for everybody, I guess. But for me, obviously, it's this contract situation and how the relationship is going to map out with the 49ers over these next few months. It kind of feels like it's eventually just going to be mended, or it's just going to be settled kind of begrudgingly at the very least. And he's going to stay with the 49ers. But there's still, you know, you still get some time here where something crazy could happen. And all of a sudden he's, you know, playing alongside AJ Brown with the Eagles or something, like, you know. You never know what's going to happen there.
Don't put that in a Debo's head. let me ask you this. Doesn't Debo Samuel feel like a Patriots player?
Yes. It made no sense why they did not bring him in.
N'Keal Harry does not, and no disrespect to N'Keal Harry, but just watching him play at, he reminds me of the Anquan Boldin thing. Just that's what you say about big guys who are slow. And that's probably unfair to some people. And Debo even had some Anquan comparisons, just a smaller version. He felt like a Patriots player, but number one. Number two, what do you think Bill Belichick's reaction would be, if any, if Debo were on the Patriots and he scrubbed his social media of any mention of his employer?
I think that he would scrub Debo from the roster.
Part of me thinks he would do that, and part of me thinks like he would get asked about it and be like, make his little my face joke or whatever.
Yeah,
and
exactly. I don't care what's going on his face or my face or your face.
You have to ask Nike. Is that his dog's name?
Yes.
I refer all questions to Nike. All right, number eight. Love Debo. I think Pete was trying to make this point. Maybe Brady Quinn was too at the time when he had originally scrubbed social media and was talking about money, that maybe he's not that good because he's, you know, 65% wide receiver, 35% running back. I think that's what makes him so good.
What makes him good, but it's also, I can understand where Debo might be a little bit concerned about that role going forward, because obviously the abuse that you get come out of the backfield is much more than when you're lining out wide.
Absolutely. And you're not getting paid to take those hits, ironically enough. You get paid to go outside and run deep. Speaking of going outside and running deep, number seven. And is this guy too low on this list, Sully? Is this a function of the guy who's now throwing the football? Even though the guy who now throws him the football, he thinks it's better than the one who was previously throwing the football, which sounds like crazy talk. But when you get paid the money he gets paid, you'll say anything. That sort of explains the LIV Golf Tour. Tyreek Hill, number seven. What do you got?
Yeah, that's part of it. Again, a lot of this in terms of the criteria of how we're making this list, obviously it's production that we've seen on the field, but there is a little bit of projecting, and we'll really get into that as we get later on in this list when we talk about some guys that have only played once in 1 year. So, but for Tyreek Hill, obviously, you know, the speed threat in the NFL, he's an absolute burner, elite in that regard. There's no denying that. And that's all well and good when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, when you can run 80 yards down the field in the blink of an eye. It's only good if a guy can actually throw it to you and get you there 80 yards down the field. I don't know if that's going to be the case with Tua Tagovailoa, so that's probably why I've knocked him down a few pegs. Again, still a top 10 guy, but I just don't know if we're going to be able to see that ability on full display in Miami next year.
So Pete had Tyreek at 17 overall. Yeah. I'm trying to see. No Jalen Waddle on Pete's list. Obviously no Jalen Waddle on your list. Jalen Waddle showed that you can sort of work with Tua's arm. But, I mean, how many Jalen Waddles do you need on that team?
Right, but also it's not, you know, as much as we want to say that they're similar, it's not exactly similar. Like, I feel like Jalen Waddle runs more short,
after the catch.
After the catch, and it's a shorter route.
Yeah, that's fair.
Where a lot of Tyreek Hill is play breaks, not a lot of it, but a lot of the bread and butter is the play breaks down, Mahomes is running around, and all of a sudden he breaks loose and he's flying down the field at a million miles an hour and he's able to connect. I just don't know if Tua has that ability.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So Tyreek was a fifth round pick in 2016. That was all off-field issues for the most part. Do you know how many wide receivers went ahead of Tyreek Hill in 2016?
2016. I'm trying to remember.
I'll even give you the hint. The first wide receiver taken was 15th overall, Corey Coleman by the Browns.
Oh, so it's probably, well, fifth round. How many? I would say over 6.5.
Ooh, which one are you taking? You're taking over?
I'm taking over.
Yeah, it's 17.
Ooh, damn. All right. That
was the highlight is Michael Thomas. He's the shiny star of that group. Then Tyler Boyd, who was the second. They're both second-round picks. The first rounder, as I mentioned, Coleman, Will Fuller, Josh Dotson, sweet mercy alive. Laquan Treadwell, oh, God. And then Sterling Sharp, who's, you know, he's been adequate, I suppose. And then things take a sharp turn downward from there. Demarcus Robinson's probably the next best player on that list before you get to Tyreek. Interesting. All right,
Ryan, you're so old. You're saying Sterling Sharp instead of Sterling Shepard.
Oh, the worst part is I was reading it, staring at it, and reading it. I'm distracted, Debo. I got a lot on my mind. I'm working through some stuff. I'm multitasking. All right. I get it. I get why if Tyreek is still with Patrick Mahomes, he's a little higher on this list.
Right. And if he's with any quarterback that we're not talking about this being a make or break year for him and he might be, you know, thrust out of Miami at the end of 2022, that you feel a little bit more confident in it.
All right. Let me ask you this. If he's playing for McCorkle Jones, where is he coming in this list?
I think he's going back into the top five. I don't know if
it's changes.
Because I know that guy can at least deliver the ball.
Two McCorkle Jones, homers on one podcast. I love it. All right, number six. All right, well, you got some explaining to do if the quarterback matters. This guy has Tom Brady throwing him the ball.
I know.
Mike Evans. I mean, he went from Johnny Manziel to Jameis Winston to Tom Brady.
He's
I don't know who's
one.
Next. I guess
he's
Jesus
another
Christ.
One who I think is underrated, Mike Evans, as weird as it sounds. Okay. I know that we're like, you know, talking about him as the number sixth best receiver in the NFL, but you know, I think, you know, we talk about a lot about Brandon Cooks having like a bunch of 1,000-yard seasons to begin his career. Mike Evans has done the same exact thing, and I feel like he's gotten less pump about it. He's been an absolute stud, and I know injuries have kind of been, you know, kind of a tag on him, but it's not like he's missed substantial time. It's a couple of games here and there that he's missed, or he's dealt with nagging injuries as he continues to play, but he's still played at an extremely high level. He's got a great ability to make those contested catches, makes him great in the red zone. He has 1,000 yards every year of his career. I don't know if there is any more productive guy that we've seen so far. I mean, obviously, we're going to get into some guys later, but like, I don't know what more you can ask from him other than just being 100% healthy, which nobody in the NFL is going to be.
Yeah, and to his credit, and you sort of hit it on this with Tua and Tyreek, and we'll see how that works out. He hasn't always had Mike Evans Hall of Famers throwing him the football.
No, it's been Jameis Winston.
Jameis, while he did a lot of crazy things in Tampa, he was much better last year, and I'm sure Sean Payton and the structure and the lack of craziness around him helped with that. But Tampa Bay Jameis was a sight to see because you're going to get 30 touchdowns and you're also getting 30 interceptions. And in between that, Mike Evans is trying to figure it out. And he was able to figure it out consistently. And then, of course, when Tom Brady showed up, everyone got better. But Mike Evans remained the same guy. He was somehow dominating before Tom Brady arrived in Tampa Bay. So, again, 2014 class, that's one of the best wide receiver classes in recent memory. Mike Evans went seventh. Do you know the only wide receiver that went ahead of him, fourth overall? The team traded up to get him.
That's not the Julio draft, is it? It's too.
No, I think it's 2011.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'll tell you the quarterback, and then you'll know the quarterback they were trying to help, and then I'll give it away. EJ Manuel.
Oh, was that EJ Manuel Buffalo? Who was in Buffalo that they drafted?
That's how terrible this trade.
How bad was this?
They traded up for Sammy Watkins.
Oh, okay. All right.
Number four overall for Sammy Watkins. He was awesome at Clemson, no doubt about it. But again. Yeah. At 7, Mike Evans goes. At 12, Odell Beckham goes. 20th, Brandon Cooks. 28th, Kelvin Benjamin. That clearly didn't work out. Marquise Lee went in the second round. Then Jordan Matthews. Paul Richardson. Devontae Adams went 53rd. What planet are we living on? 61 was Allen Robinson. Jarvis Landry, 63. And that's about it.
Who do you think? Well, you're a perfect person to ask for this. Who do you think is going to be like the Sammy Watkins that we talk about in this past draft?
Ooh.
Where it's like, oh, my goodness. How did they – this guy went – whatever, 15th, and that guy went fourth.
Here, let me look real quick. I'm like so removed from the draft. I got to look and see the names again. You mean wide receiver or any position?
Yeah, wide receiver.
Yeah, so who's the first one? God, it's so funny how I turned things off immediately. So, Drake London, right. So he went first to Atlanta, and then Garrett Wilson. So here's the thing. Like, I like Chris Olave. I don't love him, and I didn't love him more than Jameson Williams. Even Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks has had some struggles early on in his career at Tennessee. I think he's battling asthma now, and that's a concern. So part of me thinks it's Chris Olave, but he went to a perfect situation in New Orleans where they're playing indoors, fast track. Sounds like Mike Thomas is coming back. They have Alvin Kamara. If James can return from the ACL, mm-hmm. he should be okay. He makes a little nudge forward in terms of productivity and minimize the mistakes. Garrett Wilson, I think, is going to be awesome. But again, he's going to a situation that could end up being desperate with Zach Wilson. Right.
Well, a lot of it's the situation, just like we were talking about Sammy Watkins. He's got EJ Manuel throwing.
Right. So if Sammy Watkins goes immediately, well, Mahomes wasn't in Kansas City yet, but goes to whatever.
But that example, whatever you want to call it, sure.
Yeah, so I'll go with, you know what? Well, I'm not going to use second round pick because there's really no expectations there. Because this draft class is sort of crazy. Mm. Like Jahan Dotson at 16 felt like it was overdrafted to me. He's undersized. He's not as good as KJ Hamler coming out. I think KJ Hamler battled some injuries last year. I don't know if he was ACL or not. Double check on that. But yeah, and that just feels sort of desperate because you're like, all right, let's give Carson Wentz a guy and see what happens.
It felt like the teardrop too.
Yes. No, that's a good call. Like I said, I like Treylon Burks a little better than Jahan Dotson. Treylon Burks went 18th after the AJ Brown trade happened to Tennessee. But again, like I said, he's already had his issues from day one at mini camp. So hopefully he can get through that and be a good player. But yeah, I'll go with Jahan Dotson because I think Chris Olave is incredibly polished, even if he's slightly undersized.
Okay.
All right. Now things are getting saucy here. That was pick 6 through 10. So those five names are on the board. Next up, I mean, this guy, you talk about a one-year wonder. You're in the quarterback situation is great. The surrounding cast is great. The offensive line is vastly improved on paper. The defense is young and really good, and this team feels primed to you know, it's not the Patriots in 2000, but the situation is one where you feel quite comfortable if you're a fan of the Bengals with how this team looks. Honestly, the biggest liability might be Zach Taylor. Like, I don't know. I still don't know if he's a good coach. Seems like a super swell guy, but we'll see. Ja'Marr Chase, number 5. A guy who said he couldn't catch NFL-sized footballs in August.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because I remember looking at that during, like, fantasy football drafts and stuff and be like, I don't want to touch this guy.
Right.
Absolutely not. No, thank you. And, you know, spoiler alert, I did not win my fantasy football league. And so, you know, it just, again, it's one of those things. Don't believe everything that you see going on in the preseason. Sometimes it's completely fool's gold and then the player goes out and has – arguably one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen ever at the wide receiver position. He very well could be the number one guy in, you know, on this list in 2 years. It wouldn't shock me at all if he's climbing into that number two, number one spot this time next year or anything along those lines. And like we were just saying with the Bills and the Sammy Watkins and stuff, he fell into the perfect situation, built in chemistry with his quarterback in Joe Burrow right out of the gate in Cincinnati, obviously going back to their playing days at LSU. But he's everything that you really kind of want in a receiver. He's physical, he's fast, he's a deep threat. I mean, I just keep thinking back to that week 16 game against Kansas City, 11 catches, 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. It's just unbelievable.
Did they just lose that game?
I thought they won that game. No,
they beat them twice.
Is that I believe that's true.
I'll look that up. That's great. What a planet we're living on.
Seriously, but again, he's somebody who you can hit on a slant, and all of a sudden he's gone 70 yards down the field.
And to your point, like Keenan Allen runs those routes better. Keenan Allen's not running 80 yards. He's running 25 yards
exactly. And there's the difference of just the talent, the speed, just everything there. You can make the same cut, the same route, you're hitting them in the same spot, but for some reason, Chase just has that ability to kick it into that next gear and leave everybody in the dust. And really, it's that, but also he can make those contested catches. I believe it was in one of those touchdown grabs in that game against Kansas City where he just leaps over his defender and kind of just palms it almost one-handed and rips it down. And it's an absolutely insane type of talent that, again, you know, took a little bit of time in the preseason to kind of scare us, but all of a sudden he comes out of the gate here and just is an absolute monster. I mean, you know, Debo has the numbers here. Most receiving yards by a rookie in the Super Bowl era in the regular season. Who's number one? Ja'Marr Chase with 1,455, beating Justin Jefferson's 2020 season, Anquan Boldin, Randy Moss, Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, he's putting himself in superstar status right out of the gate.
Three of those four guys went to LSU. Two of them, the top two, played together on that championship team with Joe Burrow, which is, crazy. Again, you know, we joke around about these teams in college being able to beat NFL teams. That 2020 national championship team, I think, could probably compete a little bit. So week 17, Chiefs lost to the Bengals. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks later, they lost again. That's unbelievable. The other thing too
was, you know, I believe it was in that game, or it was in that second game, where I don't know if Chase really kind of, he kind of fell off towards the end in terms of statistically kind of going off. I know in the Super Bowl, he wasn't like Jamar Chase like that. Of course, nobody's going to be like that. But like, if he ramps up a little bit more and he's able to kind of, maybe he slowed down, maybe it was just kind of a quote unquote rookie wall, or maybe they were covering him different. Obviously, maybe just saying, hey, listen, we're going to let T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd beat us rather than Jamar Chase. But if he's able to get open in those games, I think it was in the AFC Championship and in the Super Bowl, gets another 100 yards or something along those lines, he turns in like a Jamar Chase game, 90 something yards and a touchdown, you might be looking at a different story there in that Super Bowl too.
Yeah, Jamar Chase, 6 catches, 54 yards and a touchdown in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. And as you mentioned, T. Higgins went off, 6 catches, 103 yards. And that obviously,
I think that's what the Chiefs decided to do. And I think the Rams did the same thing.
And by the way, this puts to rest any conversation. This is a conversation that I had frequently. If you're the Bengals during that draft, you don't take Penei Sewell over Jamar Chase, even though you desperately need a Penei Sewell.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think there might have been a case for it at the time. I mean,
yeah,
now,
sure.
Now it sounds silly. But, you know, we were talking about Sewell as this, you know, generational offensive lineman on a team that desperately needed offensive lineman after their quarterback just ripped his ACL in half. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about Joe Burrow, who was your number one overall draft pick. You've, you know, been a bad franchise basically for the entirety of your existence. And you finally seems like you're striking gold. You got to protect the guy. He just can't take those hits. And so at the time, you're like, all right, does he really need his wide receiver that he had in college when he has Higgins and Tyler Boyd? But it ended up making the right call, especially this offseason too, when they revamped that entire O-line.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Joe Burrow, if you can hold out for a year and take 500 more hits, we'll fix the offensive line next year and get you Jamar Chase. Yeah, and I'm going to let the Bengals slander go because Breach isn't here, and who cares? They have been terrible. Andy Dalton or no Andy Dalton. Okay, number four. This is interesting because, let me update the list with Prisco too. So he had Tyreek at 17. He had Justin Jefferson. We haven't talked about Jamar Chase. Sorry. He had Jamar Chase at 18. So he had just behind Tyreek, and I'm sure the time on the field had something to do with that, and he may not have accounted for Tua, and even though he's not a huge Tua fan. And then Mike Evans he had at 73. Next up, number four. Steph Diggs, also a day three pick out of Maryland. I think those may have been off-field issues as well. I have to think about that for a second. So just a little spoiler alert. Prisco had Stephon Diggs at 35, 9 spots behind Deebo Samuel, who has already appeared on your list. So is Stephon Diggs a function of Josh Allen, or is Josh Allen a function of Stephon Diggs?
No, I think that, you know, I think it's part, it's again, it's the quarterback. You know, again, you need, you know, Josh Allen was more effective when they brought in Stephon Diggs, clearly, but it's still the quarterback. You know, I don't know if it's Stephon Diggs in particular. If you brought in another, you know, A+, B+ receiver, I think he probably still would have had a similar type of leap.
N'Keal Harry, for example.
Yeah, of course. You know, again, it's the same thing, tomato, tomato. but for me, again, Stephon Diggs, just an unbelievable route runner, almost in the same breath as what we're talking about here with Keenan Allen, just able to get open. He's great at contested catches. He separates almost, you know, probably better or as good as anybody in the NFL. He's good. And this is one thing that I thought was interesting when I was looking up kind of, you know, again, you're splitting hairs when you get to this type of level of talent at receivers. And I was looking at PFF. And one thing that I didn't realize that he was particularly good at was when the play breaks down, he's able to get open. He has 26 receptions outside of the structure, according to PFF, dating back to 2020. That's the most in the NFL. So when stuff breaks down, you would think that that would be Tyreek Hill, right? When everything breaks down, who's the guy that, you know, gets open and who's able to kind of make that catch and extend the drive? It's not Tyreek Hill. It's Stephon Diggs, remarkably. And again, that's a lot of the same thing that we were talking about with our concerns about Tua. Can he roll around? Can he stay open? Can he move around the pocket and find that guy later on? Patrick Mahomes was certainly able to do it, and so is Josh Allen. Josh Allen is able to kind of move around, extend the play with his feet, and then make the throw, and now he has a guy in Stephon Diggs that can do that. So for me, that was just an interesting thing that I saw that I didn't necessarily think of, because again, like I said, if you would say when the play breaks down, who do you want? You're going to say Tyreek Hill, but the stats say it's Stephon Diggs.
And again, that sort of lends itself to supporting the argument that Stephon Diggs was incredibly important to helping Josh Allen's development because
of course.
Josh Allen's running around. If he has someone to throw the ball to, he's just taking all these needless hits, which was sort of a hallmark of his early part of his career.
It's not like Diggs was, you know, he just burst onto the scene of Buffalo. Unbelievable receiver in Minnesota.
Yeah. He's the recipient of the Minnesota Miracle.
Yep.
I do believe. 2015 draft class, fifth round pick, 146 overall. How many wide receivers went before him? And I'll give you a little hint. The fourth overall pick and the first wide receiver off the board, Amari Cooper.
And that was in what we said. It was fifth round, so it was like 20-something last time. I'm going to say 19.
Oh, the much better. He was the 19th wide receiver. That's right on the money. Now you get an extra $1 million Brinson bucks if you can name all the previous 18.
All right. Well, let's get rolling now.
Kevin White was seventh. Ouch.
Yikes.
To the Bears. Devontae Parker, he's been successful. We'll find out if McCorkle can hook him up.
Elite receiver. We'll see him in the.
He's on his way to being elite. Nelson Aguilar went 20th. Rashad Perryman was overdrafted 26th. Philip Dorsett overdrafted 29. Tyler Lockett went third round 69. Great pick there. Chris Conley's made a career. Jameson Crowder won the fourth round. And that's about it for the
name. Crowder.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I gave you where old Petey Prisco had Steph Diggs going. Now let's get down to it. I mean, this feels like I have some issues with one of these picks, but I've been leaning into that one for a few days here. But at number three, I don't have any issue with this at all. Love this guy. Justin Jefferson, 13th on Prisco's list overall. So ahead of Tyreek and Jamar, Debo, Steph Diggs, Keenan Allen, A.J. Brown, Mike Evans. And the other two guys you have ahead of him, Prisco also had ranked higher. So Justin Jefferson at three. Again, we talked about him briefly earlier. He played on that same national championship team at LSU with Jamar and Joe Burrow. And he was a guy, even when he was there, Jamar was still the guy because Justin played mostly in the slot that year. They had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They had Thaddeus Moss, Randy Moss's son, playing tight end. And that group was absolutely stacked. But he was one of the guys who shows up in the NFL after a great college career and was somehow better.
Yeah. It was just, you know, absolutely insane right out of the gate. Like I said, 1,400 yards prior to Jamar Chase. That was one, you know, that was unbelievable in terms of, you know, rookie receiving yards and all of that. But he follows that up with 1,600 yard season in year two. So kind of similar like we were talking about with Chase. You know, as much as we're saying, oh, he could easily be, you know, further up this list. Well, Jefferson's kind of paving that way, right? I mean, it was just unbelievable rookie season, probably top 10, you know, in the conversation after last season. And now after he backs it up with what he was able to do in 2021, he's putting himself as a legitimate top five guy. I mean, you know, there is not much that you can pick at with his game. And you would know this better than me. I think one of the biggest concerns coming into the NFL was how he was going to do physically, you know, how he was able to separate against like press coverage or anything like that. Yep. But he has shown he is totally fine in that regard. He blows by guys and is just one of the more explosive players that we have in the NFL right now.
I asked him that exact question at the combine, saying, you play primarily in the slot. And he very politely said, if you go back and watch the previous year, I played outside and I had no problem getting on press coverage. But I was incredibly excited because by the time he had gotten to talk to us at the combine, he'd already run and been weighed. And he was north of 6 feet. And he ran 4.4 and changed because the other concern was, well, if he runs 4.6, that's an issue. He may have ran better than 4.4, but it was a number that you could be quite happy with if you're Justin Jefferson and a team that was thinking about drafting him and, you know, absolute home run pick. And the only person that doesn't like Justin Jefferson is Debo because they took Jalen Reagor, I think, the pick before.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But and again, especially when you look at these numbers too, it, you know, the first two seasons of an NFL career, receptions 196, it's tied for first in NFL history, Justin Jefferson, and then receiving yards, 3,016. That is the number one, the most receiving yards in the first 2 years of an NFL career in NFL history. I mean, it's just, we're talking about someone who is legitimately breaking records and doing something we've never seen before. It's Randy Moss-esque just because, you know, you see him in the Vikings uniform and all of that. It's just like, okay, here we go again.
Yeah, that's not hyperbole. I mean, you can see it right there on the screen for watching on YouTube. If you're not watching, you're listening, you can visualize it. Trust me. All right, number two, the most controversial pick of any of these top 10 podcasts. I'll start by saying this. You're McCorkle Jones. You're Bill Belichick. You're putting the team together for McCorkle Jones. And You have N'Keal Harry. You have Jacoby Myers. And who's another, like, number two or number three wide receiver? I don't want to give you Devontae Parker. Who was like third on the team in receptions last year?
You get Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne. Okay, those three guys. Now you can add one of these players. You tell me, who are you taking, or are you taking Cooper Kupp? Because Cooper Kupp's number two in your list, spoilers. Okay, Devontae Adams or Cooper Kupp?
I'm taking Devontae Adams.
Justin Jefferson inside this offense or Cooper Kupp?
Well, that's where it gets tricky, because obviously we have a young quarterback.
You only get one-word answers.
Well, no. I mean, if I'm building the franchise, then I want the young guy. If I want the guy for this year, I want the dude who just had the triple crown.
Oh, okay. So let's say just for 20, you have him on a one-year deal. So you're taking Cooper Kupp over JJ.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. Cooper Kupp or Tyreek?
I'll take Cooper Kupp.
What is going on? Cooper or Jamar?
Cooper Kupp for 2021.
I mean, come on.
Now. I mean, I'm going to stick to my list.
Yeah, I guess so. Cooper Kupp or Stephon Diggs.
I think we're going to know where we're going to go.
I think we have to do this thing again, and this time you have to be hooked up to a polygraph test. That's all right, so explain Cooper Kupp at number two for the Rams. And Pete Prisco had him as his top wide receiver, had him ranked fifth overall. And I was doing HQ with Pete and Chris Hassel and Brenson about this list. And those two, not Hassel, the other two buttholes, were trying to make it look like that these are the words I actually said. I said Cooper Kupp is a rich man's Hunter Renfrow. And they were trying their best to make that into some sort of Twitter thing where I get yelled at. No one bit, because crazier things have been said. Was it hyperbole? Yeah, a little bit. But the point is that it's and Debo and both Breach agreed that it was, you know, disrespectful on some level to Cooper Kupp. But my point is that in the list of names that I read you can make an argument for four or five or six other guys that you might want there instead. But you go ahead, make the case for Cooper Kupp, who, in your defense and his defense, was one of the best players in football last year.
Right. I understand where you're coming from. I mean, again, we're splitting hairs between some of the best players at the position. You could mix and match all these dudes, and it really wouldn't fight you too hard. But again, you do have to reward the guy that legitimately just led all receivers in every single category last season. And I know the quarterback is obviously a big part of that, going from Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford. That clearly helps. But it's not like he was a bum before this either. I mean, he was, you know, injuries were a part of this. He has dealt with some injury history, but he has extremely productive seasons under his belt when you have Jared Goff in there. So as much as, you know, we're going to maybe tack down for like, oh, well, he was only, you know, this prolific when he had Matthew Stafford throwing to him, I don't know if we can really, you know, honestly make that case when we're talking about Stephon Diggs having Josh Allen, or we're talking about the drop-off with potentially Tyreek Hill going from Mahomes to Tua, or even, you know, what we're going to talk about later with Devontae Adams at number one, obviously.
Come on.
Well, I think we all knew where that was going. But, like, we're going to say he's one of the best wide receivers, the best wide receiver in the NFL. Are we going to say, oh, that was all Aaron Rodgers? No. I mean, there is some part of it, obviously, because those are elite MVP caliber type of players throwing them the football. But you're talking, again, about Cooper Kupp, elite route runner. You know, he's actually surprisingly very good at contested catches.
Yeah.
I mean, he just legitimately had one of the best seasons we've ever seen when you talk about the Triple Crown, and was just the Super Bowl MVP. I don't know how we don't reward that. I actually think it's almost should be too low. Should he be number one at this point when we saw that season last year?
Yeah, you know, those are fair points. And I think the overarching point is that we are splitting hairs at this point in the conversation. And part of the pushback was me just not wanting to agree with Brinson and Prisco.
Well, everyone
on planet Earth wants Cooper Kupp on their team. And I think he found a way to get him on there. So that's the 2017 draft class. Went in the third round in part because he ran a 4.62 40. Clearly does not play like that. He plays much faster than that. And again, reinforces the idea that just because someone runs a 4.6 doesn't mean they're slow. This draft class was not great at the top for the wide receivers. Corey Davis went fifth overall. Mike Williams, who's been pretty productive in LA and re-up there, went seventh. John Ross went ninth to Cincinnati. That has not worked out. Zay Jones went 37th to Buffalo, and he's moved around a little bit. Curtis Samuel, he's now in Washington, and rough year last year, injury related. And then Juju went at 62 in the second round. He was good with Antonio Brown when he was number one. Things change there. Maybe he gets to reignite his career in Kansas City in that one-year deal. But interestingly, Juju was 20 when he was drafted in 2017. Cooper Kupp went seven picks later, 69th overall. He's 24, so he's almost 30 now. 29, I think he just turned 29, so he has another year before he's 30. So that's the other thing. In this draft class that we just had, a lot of the players were 23, 24. A good amount of them were. And a part of that was the COVID year, and that – there was some pushback about, well, are you going to draft a guy who's that old? Well, again, Cooper Kupp ran a 4.62. He was 24 years old, and he is now number two on your list, the top five player in Pete's top 100, and, you know, a legitimate in the conversation to be a top 10 player in the NFL. I'll say he's higher than that if you don't include quarterbacks. The quarterbacks sort of dominate that list. So, yeah, he's the top five player in the NFL, and I think you can make that case as well, which means that the guy at the top of this list must be also a top five player, and you gave it away there, Davante Adams. No real surprise. The only question I have for you, was there any thought of bumping him a little bit because he's going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr? And by the way, I'm a huge Derek Carr supporter. I think he's going to have a lot of success. And I have to say that because Brinson's now trying to jump on the Derek Carr bandwagon after years of crushing the whole entire Carr family.
I didn't really think about bumping it down. I mean, yeah, you give it some thought. Not even, you know, oh, he has Derek Carr as his quarterback now. It's not really that. It's more he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback anymore. You know, that's probably more the thought process there. But I don't know. I don't see it as, you know, as big of a drop-off as we were talking about Mahomes to Tua, Rodgers.
No, absolutely. Carr. That's right.
Yep. And when you talk about, too, the built-in relationship that they have going from Fresno State, I think a little bit of that's overblown, if I'm being perfectly honest. Like, oh, just because they were college buddies. You know, I don't know if a million, you know, a bunch of years later that translates. I think it helps with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow because they just played together. I think wasn't Ja'Marr Chase like sitting out? So he literally his last quarterback was Joe Burrow LSU. So it's like I could make the case a little bit more for that as opposed to whatever, you know, 2016, I'm just going to guess at Fresno State.
I think it was
State.
Like 2012, 2013.
Okay, even better. You know, yeah. So many years ago. I don't know if that's really going to make a huge, huge difference. I'm sure it'll help. But I don't know if that makes a world of difference. But again, you're talking about the most complete wide receiver in the NFL in Davante Adams, an absolute freak, can get open at every level of the field that you want to. I'm fascinated to see how Josh McDaniels is going to use him because, you know, that was what surprised me the most, to be perfectly honest. You know, watching somebody that was in the New England organization for years that almost refused to have a number one wide receiver. Legitimately, the first thing that brain trust does, Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels, when they get to Las Vegas, or one of the first things they do is go all in for the number one wide receiver in the NFL. And I just find that to be really interesting to see how a Josh McDaniels offense is going to run with a guy like that.
So worth noting, I was wrong. So, all right, I don't know if I said it or not about Prisco's list. Davante Adams, he has 11th, so six spots behind Cooper Kupp. That's what set me off, now that I think about it. That was sort of crazy town. But again, we were just saying they're both legitimately top five players when you don't include the quarterbacks. And a little fun fact here, two seasons at Fresno State with David Carr, 2012, 2013. Derek Carr, yeah. David Carr was there, probably trying to get in, you know, trying to get some FaceTime. Derek Carr, 233 receptions over those 2 years, 3,031 yards, 38 touchdowns. So, yeah.
I think that led the nation, though, right?
I mean, I can't imagine.
I'm sure it did, right?
Maybe there's something I know about, but that gets your attention.
Yeah.
And again, second round pick for both those guys. Both, I think it's fair to say, would be first rounders who are really coming out now, knowing what we know. All right, Sully, mention some honorable mentions, some snubs that you may have considered there at the 9-10 spot that didn't make it.
Yeah, I got three of them that we can, you know, really discuss, and I think that you could easily put in here. The number one being DeAndre Hopkins. You know, clearly he is a guy, when healthy, when on the field, he's not only in the top 10, he's in the top five. I mean, he is that talented, that impactful to an offense. But you got to be on the field. You got to be there. You know, he was injured last year, and now he's set to serve a six-game suspension for PEDs this season. That kind of nullifies you from the conversation there. When you're not going to be there, I can't really talk about how great you're going to be on the field. Again, it's more hypotheticals than anything else.
Yeah, and he's now, again, he was 2014, I think he said the draft class that he was a part of. He's down on the backside of a great career. I'm looking at Pete's list here to see where Drake comes in at 71. Just one spot ahead of DeAndre was Deontay Johnson, which I thought was, as a Steelers homer, I thought that was even a little too high for Deontay. He struggled with drops at times, less so last year until the end of the season there. He has Chris Godwin at 62. That's interesting.
Chris Godwin's another one that is, those three guys. Again, injuries, you know, it's, are you there? You know, he's not going to be here. I mean, we don't know that for a fact, obviously, but he's dealing with the injury.
In the late season ACL, yeah.
So it's like,
it's hard to keep up with all these ACLs, right?
Exactly.
And then five spots ahead of Chris Godwin at 57 on Pete's list was CeeDee Lamb. And we'll see how good CeeDee Lamb is this year, because Amari's gone. CeeDee's struggled with some drops at times. I loved him coming out of Oklahoma. He was my number one wide receiver. And I think he's in the situation to have success, but I think the consistency has to be there. We didn't necessarily see that playing and play out, but that's not necessarily a knock on CeeDee. He's just a young player.
Yeah, no, he's someone who could certainly find himself on this list. Again, he's going to have all of those targets available to him now that Amari Cooper is now gone in Cleveland. There is a situation there for him to really have a monster season. So he's absolutely somebody that I think could turn himself into a top 10 wide receiver after 2022. The other one that I had on my list in terms of a snub was DK Metcalf. You know, in a vacuum, when you're just talking about the player, unbelievable talent, physical freak, deep threat, huge body, can really muscle through anybody. And, you know, it's really anything that you would want to have. And another one of those guys from that, the 2019 draft, where it's just, again, just a monster day two in that draft class. When you talk about Debo, when you talk about DK, when you talk about AJ Brown, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's Terry McLaurin even, right? Like, I mean, and he's another one who can find himself on that list. It's just an amazing day two in that 2019 draft class in terms of the wide receiver position. He's another one that I think, yeah, exactly. I mean, right there with him. But again, just that's an amazing, you know, he's an amazing talent. But when you're projecting, when part of the evaluation process for me is projecting what you're going to do in 2022, I don't know if I can really be confident in DK Metcalf when Drew Lock and Geno Smith are currently fighting it out for him to be to be throwing him the football.
The name you mentioned was one I was going to mention, and one that I mentioned to Pete and Brinson on the show. Terry McLaurin, who's played with some straight up not great quarterbacks. Yep. Taylor Heineke's fine, but he's not a franchise quarterback. And then Tyler Lockett. I think both those guys I would take over DK Metcalf if we're doing a 10A. But, you know, I get it. At this point, you're sorting through the stuff and trying to do the math on all these guys. But
and you can even make a similar, in terms of Terry McLaurin, you can even make kind of, you know, in terms of a path through the NFL, it's very reminiscent to me, at least, of Michael Thomas. I mean, not Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, sorry. Like, where it's just really productive, crap quarterbacks, but you're doing really well. If all of a sudden Washington gets their act together and Carson Wentz is the MVP player that we saw with the Eagles, or if they move on and they bring in somebody else that is actually a dude, then Terry McLaurin could really take off on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm with you 100%. All right, Sully, that's your list. That's a wrap on the old podcast. I think later in the week we have a mailbag with me and Mr. Breach. So look out for that. Thanks for joining us. And you're listening to this, but if you're watching live, I don't know if it's live or not. Me and Sully will be on HQ at 4 p.m. on June 23rd. And if you're listening after the fact, go to YouTube and you can watch me and Sully talk about some football stuff. Sully, good seeing you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.